ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिक्रमात्मकः। श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। श्रीभगवान् उवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। श्रीभगवानुवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। श्रीभगवानुवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। लेडीज श्री भगवान उवाच प्रकृति पुरुषश्चेति विकल्पः पुरुषार्षभा एष वैकारिकः सर्गो गुणव्यतिकरात्मकः। श्री भगवान उवाच The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prakriti, nature, Purushaha, the enjoyer, living entity, Cha, and Iti, this, Vikalpaha, complete distinction, Purushar Sabha, O best among men, Esha, this, Vaikarikaha, subject to transformation, sargaha, creation, guna, of the modes of nature, vyatikara, the agitation, atmakaha, based on. Translation proper by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. This manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature. Purport. The word Purusha indicates the living entity and also the Supreme Lord. Who is the supreme living entity? Material nature, subject to transformation, is full of duality. whereas the Lord is one and absolute. Material nature is dependent on its creator, maintainer, and annihilator. The Lord, however, is completely self-reliant and independent. In the same way, material nature is unconscious and dull, lacking self-awareness. Whereas the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient, omniscient. The living entity shares the eternality, bliss, and knowledge of the personality of Godhead, and is also completely distinct from material nature. The word sarga here refers to the material amalgamation of the body which covers the living entity. The material body undergoes constant transformation and is thus clearly different from the living entity, who is eternally the same. In the transcendental kingdom of God, there is no conflict or agitation caused by creation, maintenance, and destruction as exhibited in the material world. Their all variety is resolved in the transcendental loving experience of Krishna consciousness, the natural constitutional position of the soul. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, the material nature and its enjoyer are clearly distinct. This manifest creation undergoes constant transformation, being founded upon the agitation of the modes of nature. The person who actually creates and makes something knows exactly what its nature is. Krishna made this creation, is the cause of this creation. He made it. And when it happened to the agency of Lord Brahma. And therefore, it is always profitable for those who are living in this world created by Him to know how He made it, why He made it. Generally, before you buy something, you would like to know its nature. You buy a car, you buy a dress, you buy shoes. You like to know what this is all about, what the material is, what the cost is, what the life duration is, shelf life is, manufacturing date is. Then we look into all these details before you buy something. But when you come to the material world, we don't have a choice. We cannot come to the material before and consider whether I can go here or not. You just have to come here by the forces of your karma. But after we come here, if you don't understand why this is made, how this is made, how long does it last, what is the shelf life, etc., then your entire stay here is useless. You will never figure out the purpose of creation and the purpose of your being in this part of this creation. You will never know that. So most life in the human being is spent like that. Everyone comes here, they live a life of ignorance, they are born in ignorance, they live in ignorance, and they die in ignorance. Ignorance before, ignorance in between, ignorance after. So the predominating moiety which governs material world is one, ignorance. And therefore, when devotees begin any particular type of activity, they will say, Om Agyana Timirandasya, because they offer first gratitude and prostrate obeisances to that person who actually intervened in his ignorance and gave some light to understand. Chakshur Unmilitam, that means your brightened eyes can now see. In darkness you cannot see anything. The nature of darkness is it prevents vision, it occludes vision. Right? So we'll come to the world. Even though the world apparently looks very bright and illuminated with the sun and the moon and the stars and electric wirings everywhere and halogen bulbs everywhere, it looks illuminated. It doesn't look like a dark place. It's bright outside, very sunny. Right? But the eyes of the soul are covered. So external lighting doesn't seem to help, because the eyes of the soul are covered with ignorance. The spiritual master does not illuminate outside, but illuminates the eyes of the soul. And therefore he is the most important person in our life, because he gives us vision. So then, in the curriculum of a practicing devotee, as he has to go through his educational process of learning his life lessons before he dies, like Gopinath Prabhu always says, you know, life is preparation, death is examination. So we learn, we prepare. So a balanced growth of a person, of a spiritual person, is twofold. If you understand two things properly, you'll make balanced growth. For walking in this world, we require two legs. One leg we can walk, but it'll be like a hop. It won't be like a walk. So for stability of this human body, Krishna has made two legs, dvipada, so we can walk. Right? Similar to walk in this world, you require two types of knowledge. One is the nature of this world, another is the nature of the spiritual world. A balanced understanding, too much absorption in the spiritual world and activities going on over there, is not conducive for balanced growth. Too much of meditation, deliberation, introspection, indulgence, charcha of spiritual activities of Krishna is not conducive. In fact, that realm is a realm meant to give shelter. And the prerequisite for taking shelter of anything is Hare Krishna, is the need to take shelter. If you don't feel the need to take shelter, you just can't take shelter, even if it is provided to you. So unless we understand the nature of this world, which is a shelterless place, then you can start taking shelter of the Vishaya Vigraha, which is Krishna. Krishna is Vishaya Vigraha, Srimati Radharani is Ashraya Vigraha. So for taking Ashraya of the Lord, we need to first understand this world. And therefore Prabhupada has time and again always made us understand that to understand the world and spiritual world in a balanced way is creating a mood whereby we are developing a healthy understanding of this world and the spiritual world. So in trying to understand the material world, Prabhupada actually made it very simple. and yet very profound in just five alphabets, not even five sentences, not even five paragraphs, not even five books. He just made it so simple in just five alphabets. How concise can spiritual scientists be when they want to communicate essential knowledge spoken with eloquence? The five letters are pa, fa, ba, bha, and ma. How beautiful. I read this years ago in a book called as Laws of Material Nature. I haven't seen the book for a long time, but I'm sure it still exists. But years ago I read that book, The Laws of Material Nature. It was a nice book for me. I learned many good lessons. It talked about the fifth canto and the sufferings there. Quite scary. But then you talk about Pafa Bhavama also. Prabhupada talks about that, one of the purports. So Pa stands for Parishram, what we call as the hard struggle for existence. Parishram. Pa, Fa. Fa stands for Fena. Fena means foaming at the mouth. Right? So we may not literally see, we may see a donkey do that, but human beings don't foam at the mouth so much unless they are unconscious or they develop convulsion, epilepsy, then they may foam. Or they choke up, they may foam. Or they drown, they may foam. Right? But generally the person, a human doesn't foam, but he sweats. That parisham leads to sweating. It is foaming at the skin rather than foaming at the mouth. He is sweating like mad. Right? Working hard. Right? Average of 12 hours in a day with 4 hours on the roads going back and forth. Right? So 14 hours out of the house is obviously massive parishram and fena. Right? And you get exhausted. And however hard you work, it leads to birth, which is called as bandhan. Bandhan. Because you work so hard for something, obviously you become attached to that thing. Right? It's quite natural. To raise a family, it takes such labor. To raise a child, it takes such labor. To get a job and to maintain a job and to not get fired from the job is such labor. Right? To maintain your hair, it's labor. You're going to lose it otherwise, right? So much labor in this world. So you get attached. Nature of the soul to get attached. And that attachment almost always leads to bha. It's called as bhaya. Attachment must be followed by bhaya. Why? Because of fear of losing it. All attachments in this world are designed to create fear. And therefore fear and ignorance are the predominant symptoms of material existence. You live in ignorance, and that ignorance almost always leads to constant fear. Of the four corporeal activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending, bhaya predominates over all the other four, other three. And last is ma. After all the stuff which goes on in life, what is the reward? What is the net gain? What do you really get? What do you get? The puraskar? You get ma. You get mrityu. How simple, how profound. I mean, think about it with a cool head. How ridiculous and how stupid. That we have given our lives, we have sold our very souls for these four alphabets. Life after life after life after life. And the more, so think of a beautiful pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam, which illustrates this principle so nicely. 10th canto, in the story of Bhaumasura. Now Bhaumasura, let's consider the first aspect Parishram and Puffer, Pena and Bhaya. Now he is so powerful. I mean, demons were really powerful in those days. Even demons are powerful these days, but I mean, they cannot just match with the demons of the previous times. What type of stuff they could achieve is impossible for us, for human beings, to imagine in today's world. To go to Meru Parvat and conquer a part of Meru Parvat called Mani Parvat, that became his territory, his zone, his adhipatya. Meru Parvat is way beyond Swarga Loka. And to go there and to conquer that, how did he conquer it? What weapons he used? But he conquered Mani Parvat. And in this world, he lived in a place called Prag Jyotispur, which probably is somewhere around Assam today. And how he lived in a city, how he made a city. Now somebody who has conquered Mani Parvat, somebody who has the power to steal away the earrings of the mother of the demigods, what is his power? Would the demigods, would Indra allow his mother's earrings to be stolen by a demon? They were not stolen because they were lying in a safe deposit vault. They were stolen because when she was wearing it. And the umbrella of Varuna. Varuna is powerful. He takes care of all the oceans. His umbrella is the most celebrated. I think he brought the umbrella also when Krishna was performed at Govindakund. I think he brought umbrella. I'm not very sure of that, but it appeared. I think so. So Varuna's umbrella is not like our umbrella, which we just press a button and just opens up in monsoon. We think of umbrella, we think of, you know, our conception of umbrellas with a, you know, waterproof cloth or something. It's the most exotic canopy a king can ever have in the creation of this world. And that he stole. And after doing all these parakram, he lived in a city which made him formidable. Look at the bhaya aspect now. After a lot of parishram, he did this, the bhaya aspect. The wall was fortified on four sides with huge forts and strongholds and unlimited powerful formidable military strength. Nobody could dare enter the city. And all around the city was a moat of water. If army has to attack, if elephants have to come in, if horses have to ride into your city, they have to cross. But you have a huge moat of water, how will they cross? And before you even come close, you'll be struck dead because of strongholds from those huge forts. And if that was not enough, then there was electric wiring. Electricity exists. We may think that electricity is a modern invention, but more sophisticated electric wiring was done by Bhaumasura, right? So electric wiring all over the place, entire city. Now no city in the world can match with that technological advancement. A whole city covered with electric wiring. You can electric wire your own house or maybe a building or whatever. And the whole city. Like, can you have Bombay city covered with electric wiring? It sounds impossible. But he did it. So nobody could negotiate that. And if that was not enough, there was gas. A gaseous substance called anila. Right? So it is like biological warfare. Like, you have gases these days which you can shoot with, which the weapons people shoot in armies, and the gas goes and makes people, it's a neurotoxin. It's a nerve toxin. So the moment you inhale that, you become paralyzed. It acts directly on the nervous system of the body and toxic enough to destroy all the neurons. So you had this gas, if you negotiate that. And that was not enough. That Mura, his friend and his associate, confidant, had a Mura Pash, which was barbed wiring. Now imagine how much was the fear factor in the heart of Bhaumasura. Why would somebody do something like this if he thinks he's very powerful? Now we have to have, in Ramaraj there's no doors, doors are open. Now you have one door, then you have nowadays, every house usually has a double door, right? One door to see who's come, and the second door to actually open it. And you have double, almost all houses in cities have double doors, they call it security door, whatever, right? And they have a cameras, to before you even open the door to see who's guy, who's outside. And there's not enough, somebody is down there, the camera shows in your house, should I allow him to come in? This guy wants to come in. Then you have a signature and his phone number. We have some sort of secret system. Of course, still people get robbed and killed and all that. So imagine the fear factor of... It struck me when I read this past time. How much scared must be Bhaumasur. He could conquer heavenly planets, he could conquer demigods. And yet, so the more you have, the more you conquer, it doesn't make you confident and fearless. The factor of fear predominates so heavily on you that it becomes even more powerful on your consciousness. It just does not get relieved. There is no way a millionaire or billionaire can ever feel fearless. Think that I have a lot of money, I can do anything with all that. No. The man who has the least will be the most fearless person. The man who has the most will be the most fearful person. That's the law of nature. So we may feel that there's big guys who are moving around in big cars and big security systems. They are like scared to death. Fear. Of course, Krishna was summoned in Dwarka. Indra said, Pahimam, Prabhu, Pahimam. Indra keeps on doing that again and again. Save me from my mother's earrings are stolen, my associate Varun Dev's umbrella is stolen, and all that is lying with Bhaumasur. And you need to go and rescue these things. And I deserve an insult. I couldn't protect my mother's earrings. What a shame. What a humiliation for me. Someone came and stole my mother's earrings. Krishna, of course, always obliges. He is Bhaktavatsal. He never says no to his devotees. Krishna has never said no to his devotee. He's always a yes. So Krishna goes, but doesn't go alone. He goes with one Garudji. He goes Satyabhama. Because he has more than one, you know, things to achieve. So he wants to also pacify his wife. Acharya say that Bhumi Devi is an expansion of Satyabhama. And therefore when the war takes place, she would be required to keep the war under control. Because Bhumi Devi is going to be involved. That's what Acharya also say. Anyway, what Krishna does is so beautiful. Generally, we think of Krishna as Makhan Chor and Muralidhar and lifting golden hill, jumping around, imitating the frogs, and that's Braj, right? But here is a completely different type of Krishna. He's in a very, very shieldless, angry mood. He's very angry. The moment he just comes, he just pounds the walls with his club, and huge clubs just fall apart. He blows his conch shell. The power of sound. What is the power of Krishna's sound? He breaks all the tanks, the machine guns and the ammunition. They just break. He doesn't have to use his hands. He doesn't have to use his fist. He just blows his conch shell. Like when you have a bomb blast and there is sound. And sound can make you deaf. It can blast things around. So just by the sound waves, the fall is here, but the sound waves can keep on destroying things many kilometers beyond. So Krishna is that, the source of that sound. So when he plays the conch, the original sound is created, it can destroy massive things. And he just destroys. And then he uses his chakra. In this lila, he uses chakra a lot. It is not just for show. He uses it here. This is not a 200 form in Dwarka. 400. So he releases the chakra and the barbed wiring, shuck, electric wiring, shuck, and the moat finished off, right? In no time, he just destroys all these coverings. Mura is lying there in the water. He has created a kingdom in the water. So like Krishna created a kingdom in Dwarka. The demons can do so many wonderful things. He created a kingdom. He was staying underwater. And looking at this chaos and commotion and all the stuff going on outside, Muna comes out and he has five heads. And he roars. He roars. Now we also know of Narsingadev's roar. This is something like that, something matchable to that. When he roars with his five mouths, it is said the reverberations of his five mouths is so loud, it reaches the coverings of the universe. Reverberates, it echoes back. Then it goes back. Then it comes back. It goes back and forth. That is the power of Mura's vibratory power of his sound. Right? Now when we shout, we get angry. We shout, right? Yeah, you rascal, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to smash you. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to destroy you. And we sound, it hardly goes into the next lane also. In the next lane, I will not know that somebody else is shouting here. Right? So we are so insignificant human beings. We just absolutely insignificant. And there's nothing more about ourselves than that. We are just insignificant. That's what Bhagwan Mahan hai, aur hum Prabhupada said, hum tuch hai. Prabhupada always said that. Bhagwan Mahan hai, aur hum tuch hai. In our anger is tuch. Everything about us, ourselves is just tuch. But Mura was not tuch. He was really having power of sound. And then of course he came and attacked. And Krishna did what was necessary. He shot him down, cut off his head, threw the trident, cut off the trident. It's a detailed story. It's a beautiful story. And then of course, he goes inside. And Bhaumasur actually has been so powerful that he has captured 16,100 beautiful kanyas, unmarried girls from the entire universe. They were daughters of the Siddha Lokas, planetary system. They were daughters of the demigods. They were apsaras and the daughters of the kings of this world. He was really, really into this business of enjoying so much. So here, the women who are staying there, bhaya. Imagine you being incarcerated by a person as powerful as Bhaumasur. And from one day to the next, they don't know what's going to happen to them. How are they going to be treated? All maltreated. There's no proper food, no proper clothing, no proper facility. They were celestial women there. They were not used to ordinary living in some incarcerated place in a fortress. No. They were very, very special celestial people there. But unkempt, dirty, fearful. The bhaya factor, what would happen to them? Of course, when Krishna goes inside, Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is so very attractive. Right? So the only way to become free from fear and attachment, Indra represents attachment and Bhaumasura represents fear. To become free from fear and attachment, we have to create a new set of attraction. Actually, it's not new set of attraction. It's our original attraction for Krishna which has to be revived. And you develop attraction for Krishna, you become automatically free of fear and attachment of this world. That happens automatically. Jnana vairagas chaiva shanna bhakti. So both, and you do Vasudeva Bhagavati, then both. Jnana vairagya automatically comes as a byproduct. So immediately when the ladies see Krishna, their heart flows towards his lotus feet. And they say, you can only protect us. Please accept us as your husband. Right? And immediately the fear factor just flew off. It just flows off. That is the power of Krishna. Krishna is so powerful. The moment the soul takes shelter of Krishna, he loses all fear. Fear is only there in this world till we attach to things of this world. But we cannot get detached from the world artificially. The moment you take attraction of Krishna, then you get detached. So attachment to Krishna comes first. Detachment comes as a byproduct, and not like the Mayavadis who first talk of detachment first. They talk of Vairagya first. They take sannyas first. Right? For a devotee, it is attachment to Krishna leading to attachment of this world. For even a small attachment can lead to fear. When Kuresh and his wife are walking in the jungle, Kuresh had given up his entire kingdom, his entire, all his properties and his estate, he had given up. And his wife, they said, let's go to, I'm going to renounce this world. So the wife is walking to the forest. She is not worried about the forest and the animals there. The snakes and the rhinoceros and the tigers and the lions. Right? So Kuresh looks at his wife and said, are you carrying something with you? Because they were supposed to leave beside everything which they were. I said, yes, I'm carrying a golden pot. I thought you will need it, you know, for your various purpose of when you need water. I said, throw that away. You're looking fearful because you're going to lose this golden pot. Somebody will come and steal it, or somebody will attack you, whatever. And how can I serve my husband without? He's a king. He's a big zamindar, and he was living in royal opulence. I should get a golden pot for him. He said, throw that away. The moment she threw that away, all fear left. Right? So the fear is almost always because we get connected to the things of this world. Fear of losing health, fear of losing loved ones, fear of losing your job, fear of losing so many things. Fear of losing mobiles, fear of losing passports. Fear of losing, just fear of losing, just fear, fear, fear. Constantly we are in fear. But bhajahure manasirandanandana abhachanaras. The moment we take this line seriously in our life, the moment we actually accept this line, the moment we take shelter of Krishna, Prabhupada was absolutely fearless to go through a foreign land without money. Is a huge fear factor. Think about that. One of the first things people does when they go to America or any is to take currency. They'll go to Forex or somebody else or Captain Cook, Thomas Cook or somebody else. And you first do, what you need to do is you need to have some currency in your pocket. Right? Because you're going to go to a foreign land, you need to have the currency of the land. And here is a man going to and carrying no currency of that land. Nothing. Right? So it is very fearful to go without contacts. You need to have somebody to receive you. You need to have somebody to get in touch with. You go to a place which you have never been. You practically don't know anything about that place. It's that time there was no communication between the East and the West hemispheres of this world. There's hardly any communication taking place. Talking about 1960s. Nothing was there. There was no radio stations broadcasting things across. You just had to go and figure it out yourself. How did Prabhupada become so fearless? His confidence was not about having a contact or some currency or what would happen to him in the old age. His confidence was in the Bhagavatam he was carrying. You know, that was his strong strength. Prabhupada was utterly so fearless. So fearless. Of course, his name was Abhay Charan. That was his name. And he personified that name completely. Nothing. Facing a powerful scientist, facing political leaders, scholars of immense repute, with powerful degrees, university scholars, and he was a man who was just a BSc graduate from the early 19th century, British Jamanika. BSc graduate, right? And that was a degree he didn't take. I don't think he took the degree because they renounced. It was degree by the only for Swadeshi degrees were there. So Gandhi said, give up all degrees also. And they had the certificates and they put the certificates in the funeral pyre. They threw it. We reject all clothes, we reject the philosophy, we reject the certificate, reject everything. Prabhupada had nothing, and here he was facing scientists. One would get scared. You would be on television stations. You become nervous to have these big people who are interviewing you and all the sort of awkward questions they will ask you, to corner you, to con you, to humiliate you. Prabhupada was absolutely fearless. You could not create a sense of any fear in the heart of Prabhupada, no matter what was the situation. Nothing made him fearful. So we can question ourselves, why?
Why would Prabhupada not be fearful after getting heart attacks, having no money, no contacts? Abhaya charana aravindare. Because Prabhupada was always confident of Krishna in his heart. He relied on Krishna in every situation. But Krishna is always there. Krishna is always there for his devotee. I'm doing Krishna's work in this world. I'm not doing my work. I have nothing to gain from this work. It is God's work. And the same philosophy instilled in his devotees. And the six couples who went to London went with the same fearlessness practically. His initial disciples carried the same fearlessness factor. They could go to any country, instead of a center or a temple, go to meet anybody. Right? It didn't make them nervous at all. Nothing was too much. Nothing was big. Nothing was too scary. Nothing was too daunting. Everything was possible because they had Prabhupada with them. So they had confidence in Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had confidence in his Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj has confidence in Krishna. So through parampara, they were completely fearless. And of course, when Krishna went to these queens, various girls, ladies, they were not queens anymore, Krishna accepted them immediately. They prayed to Krishna with submission. An essence of any prayer, however elaborate can be, if the underlying meaning of any prayer towards the Lord, if it is consisting of the essence, we can say so many things. Brahma is offering so many prayers, 100 chapters of Brahma Samhita. But the essence of what he wants to say is only one. Govindam Adipurusham Tam Aham Bhajami. And he wants to say that again and again, but he's saying it in so many different ways. 100 verses, all of them are lost to this world. Only 5th chapter remaining. 5th chapter remaining. We chant only a few 28 slokas. But what the essence is, what we want to always remember. Therefore we greet the Lord with that, those prayers every day. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. If that is kept on, we keep on repeating that, like a small child, when they keep on repeating something. Medically they call it sometimes echolalia. You keep on repeating the same thing. Old men become like that. They keep on repeating. Old people, when they become dementic, they keep on repeating the same thing again and again. That's part of this type of disease called dementia, where they repeat. But if you can just remember this one thing, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Right? I want to worship you. I am yours. The essence of every prayer, it can be a very sophisticated prayer or a simple prayer. It can be very Sanskrit, can be very erudite, can be full of, various figures of speech attached to it. Alankarit bhasha, right? But the mood what Krishna is looking for, what is looking for in the prayer is whether this devotee is offering himself to me. Whether he is offering himself. The prayers are good. The prayers are nice. Krishna receives those prayers. But underlying the prayer, what Krishna is waiting for to see is, I am yours. When that mood is coming out, that I am yours, my dear Lord. When that mood is coming out through those beautiful prayers, Krishna accepts those prayers and accepts you along with the prayers. Prabhupada offered, when he was in Jaladuta, he offered himself, I am yours, my dear Lord. I am yours. Now make me dance as a puppet. That's enough. He offered himself completely, utterly, wholesale. Krishna accepted him wholesale. Right? So, when we chant our rounds, when we offer our prayers to the Lord, whatever we do, this is what we want to offer. And then, we lose attachment to this world and lose fear of this world. As soon as when these ladies offer this mood, we are yours, my dear Lord. You accept us fully. We don't want to be touched by this demon. You know, God knows what he's going to do with us. He's going to manhandle us. He's going to molest us. We don't know what he's going to do with us. Right? We are so fearful. But with you, we know we are completely secure. You are the Lord of all the protected, all surrendered souls. You want to become your wives. And Krishna was of course not prepared for this, but the offer was there, and Krishna, being just Bhakta Vatsal, he accepted all these queens. He said, okay. If you want to conquer Prajyotispur, his son was there. He told his son, arrange for a feast for all these ladies, give them nice clothes to wear, and dispatch them with ceremonious pomp to Dwarka. So Airavat was there. Airavat was fetched from the Amrut Manthan, and he had 16 descendant elephants who were also the property of Bhaumasura. There were 4 tusks. I think Airavat is more than that, but I think he has 16 tusks. I don't know. But Airavat has, his descendant had 4 tusks. No human, no mortal elephant of this world have, they only have 2 tusks, but they were special celestial tusks, elephants. They had 4 tusks. So they were high speed elephants. Elephants usually don't run too fast. They're not known for the bodily strength, not for their speed. Right? But they were high speed elephants. They were sent from Prajyotispur to Dwarka. The coming with 16,000 queens. So they sent the news there, and in nice palanquins and with great pomp and great respect. The ladies needed respect, they needed to restore their self-esteem had been lost. Krishna restored their self-esteem, their prestige, all gifts were sent, everything was sent with them, just like a royal procession was sent. And then the kingdom was, Dwarka was ready to receive them. Right? So in this way, how Krishna protects his devotees. So then, the puff of Babha Ma, the Ma does not become Mrityu. The Ma becomes Mukti. When you take shelter of Krishna, that Ma turns from Mrityu into Mukti. It becomes a cause of your eternal salvation in the spiritual world. Of course, eternal Mukti means Prima Bhakti. That is eternal, supreme Mukti. Pancham Purushartha. Right? So Krishna offers you that. Krishna offers you that for a life of devotion, a life of humility, for a life of practicing sincere sadhana bhakti, Krishna rewards you. What material nature rewards you after all that you do in this world is a reward of death. Take this. And next life again, death. Next life you come again, death. You get the gift of death in every life. How ridiculous for all of us that we accept this as a part of life. We say, oh, yeah, but this is just normal. To be born is normal, to be dead is normal. Prabhupada challenges that. Prabhupada said, birth is not normal. Death is not normal. For the soul, birth is artificial. For the soul, death is artificial and unnatural. The soul should not be born, the soul should not die. Na jayate muryate vakadachin. Right? It is unnatural for the soul to experience birth and death. We are eternal. No birth and no death. That's what Prabhupada has come to offer all of us. And by understanding properly, as this sloka says very beautifully today, by giving up dull matter, dependent matter, but accepting Krishna's lotus feet with humility, with devotion, we can once and for all. Therefore, while we are trying to develop our attraction for Krishna, to also be mindful, to be conscious of the need to take shelter. To not feel comfortable in this place. To not feel complacent in this place. We can get complacent because the mode of goodness gives you some happiness. The mode of goodness makes devotees oftentimes like us complacent. Because you're not really suffering because that passion is not there so much. But it can make us complacent. But by hearing, devotees need to hear. We need to hear of the things of this world. When we hear the things of this world, how horrible the world is and how horrible the world is going to become in times to come. Because of lack of awe and order, lack of proper kings, lack of proper spirituality. And what the world is going to become is degrading so fast. Right? What's going to happen to this world? When we become conscious of that, said, I need to get out of this place. I don't want to come here again and get stuck. Prabhupada would give examples very graphic. He said, when you flush the tank after doing your morning job, you don't look behind, you just leave the place. Prabhupada wanted us to have that attitude towards this world. Just flush and get out. Prabhupada was very graphic in what he wanted to teach us to his students. said, it's just, this world is like a, you know, doing a job. Get your job done in this world, flush it, and leave it once and for all, and don't look behind. The whole spiritual world is waiting for you. Right? Eternal life and Vaikuntha is waiting for all of us. What Krishna offered to the queens, what Krishna is offering to all of us also. We are incarcerated in this world also, like just like queens, being manhandled, mistreated by material energy. Right? But let's say complete hope. There is unlimited hope for all of us. If we accept this path of Krishna consciousness, there is unlimited hope for all of us. And life is glorious, it is wonderful, very positive, very, very positive. We don't just give up the path of what ISKCON has given us, what Prabhupada has given us, what Krishna has given us. There is unlimited hope for all of us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Want to express something? Yes, you can express something. Yes, yes, you can. The mic is coming to you.
Prabhuji, I entered Krishna consciousness about 20 years back. I was initially a devotee at Radharas Vihari. I had just gone there one day to pray. And within 1 month, I met a devotee from here. And then we eventually got married. I followed this path. The first time I saw Maharaj, I recognized that Krishna has sent him to me. I could see his purity I could identify that Krishna has sent both my husband and my guru to me to help me in my life, because I had previously led from childhood very hard life. Over the years we got the knowledge that we fell from spiritual world because of envy. Nobody wants to live in this material world anymore. We want to go back to Krishna. But we hear everything in Bhagavatam class. But outside the Bhagavatam class, everywhere in the world, there is envy. How are we ever going to go back to Krishna if we don't remove the envy from the hearts? There is envy among the devotees, whether in the West or in the East. There is competitiveness in preaching. There is lack of cooperation. There is lack of understanding, both from the male and female perspective. There is a lack of understanding when the lady talks. Sometimes the lady is talking from the perspective of a mother. In Houston, I got Madhaji, the knowledge that Madhaji, the mother is a guru figure.
Madhaji?
So all these things, they need to be, lady needs to be respected.
Yeah.
And then when the lady is respected, the envy will go away. Otherwise there is so much envy everywhere. Thank you for giving me this chance to talk.
Thank you. All that I can say that we are in a hospital. And in hospital you don't find people who are cured, but some people are mildly sick, moderately sick, sometimes very, very sick, sometimes on the ventilators, sometimes in the ICU, CCU. So in ISKCON you will find people like
Krishna.
ISKCON is a hospital for reforming the diseased soul of this world. Yes, I endorse what you say. We find people who are very purified, the saints of this world who are like doctors, which you call as the spiritual masters, who are here to give treatment. But we will also see people who are very, very sick with envy and lust and greed. Some of them are less sick, some of them more sick. Different grades of sickness are there. But as long as we stay in the hospital and don't leave before we get all right. Sometimes people leave the hospital before they get sick and they are all right. They just leave it. Right? They're on the roads and they abscond. Then it is very dark.
As long as we stay here, stick with that to the path, keep taking the treatment, however difficult it may appear, however difficult it is, the outside world is a more horrible place. The outside world is a terrible, more terrible place. Right? So, yes, there may be some issues in every religious organization. That is not denied. But it's because it is considering of self. And Prabhupada has allowed all of us to come and join. No screening procedure is there. You know, you go into military or anything, there's a lot of screening is there before you can enter. But here, anybody is allowed, foreigner, Indian, American, Parsi, Jain, Muslim. Prabhupada is so broad. He's allowed the whole world to come into the society. So much people come into with huge baggage of purva karma. Huge baggage of conditionings. So what do you expect in such a society? Definitely, what you say is something which we see and observe. But with a sober heart, at least we are all there in the place where we need to be. We are with Krishna, we are with Prabhupada, we are with the holy name. And therefore we are blessed. With all our problems, we are still supremely blessed. Hare Krishna.